Well, this is an odd confluence. On the one hand, Ash Wednesday, where we begin Lent, where we bewail our manifold sins and wickedness. And on the other hand, St. Valentine's Day. How do you put the two together? I came across, thanks to a priest in New Zealand who has a wonderful liturgy site, a song by a Canadian singer, Alana Lewandowski, who is a folk singer with a kind of a Christian bent, and she wrote a song for this peculiar confluence called When Love Meets Dust. And it really is a very thoughtful song about us being dust and about being created by love and how that plays itself off, considering it's Ash Wednesday. Saint Valentine is apparently an unknown saint. Nobody really knows who he was as a kind of a legend. He was a bishop and a martyr, and he wrote encouraging notes to people. I like that, bishops writing encouraging notes. But it's turned into a fairly cheap kind of festival, don't you think? A lot of pink hearts, red hearts, and will you be my Valentine? And then on the other hand, there's Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday ought to be longer, don't you think? Couldn't it be Ash Week or Ash Month? Because this is what it's all about. One day a year we remember why we need the church, why we need the gospel, why we need Jesus Christ. And I suppose that we all know that every time we celebrate the liturgy, the Holy Eucharist, there's a confession of sin, except immediately after Easter, where we're kind of too happy to confess our sins. And it counts, of course. But today, tonight, is a particularly dark night for us to think about who we really are. While I was doing some research, besides listening to Canadian singers, I reread T.S. Eliot's poem, Ash Wednesday. And actually, I thought that that would be the sermon tonight, but it would have lasted 20 minutes, so. But seriously, you should read it. It was written when Eliot had his conversion experience and became a Christian, actually became an Anglican. And it's some of his literary critics consider it to be his finest poem. I've turned and I have not turned. It starts out and it ends that way. Turning toward, converting. That's what that word means. To convert is to turn toward. In the early church, when it was still outlawed, baptism was a very elaborate and very strong kind of feast. It took years to be able to get past all of the secrecy, to be accepted. And on Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, gathering with the community and in fasting and prayer, and fasting all the way till dawn on Sunday. Just before dawn, the baptizans would turn to the west. Actually, in this church, the west is what, like that way? Normally it faces east. I don't know why it was built this way, but the baptizans would turn to the west, the darkness, the place of Satan, and there they would make those promises that we hear every time we baptize someone. I renounce Satan. I renounce the evil powers of this world. I renounce my own sinful desires. And then they would literally turn to the east as the sun was rising. Jesus Christ, who rises with healing in his wings. Jesus Christ, the morning star, as its glow rises upon us. Conversion is what Ash Wednesday is all about. And it is something we all need to continually start all over again. So what are you giving up for Lent? We all talk about this. Well, I'm giving up Scotch whiskey, for instance. No Scotch till Easter Sunday after church. Not before. I'm giving up Facebook, for instance. I'm not telling you what I'm actually giving up, all right? These are examples. But, you know, Jesus wouldn't, I think, approve of us telling each other what we're giving up. Do not practice your piety before others. That's what the hypocrites do. And yet we do these things of fasting and prayer in order to remind us of all of the good things that we have and all the good things that we are because we are belonging to Jesus. Ash Wednesday is about reminding ourselves about why we need Jesus. You know, really holy people are very aware of their sins. We tend to see very holy people as, well, they're so holy they don't need to pray. They don't need the church. They're so good. And yet, if you read the writings of the great saints, take, for example, Augustine of Hippo, St. Augustine's most famous work, The Confessions. Read it again. He's really pretty blunt about what he went through, and he's still very blunt about how much he needs God. In fact, being now the bishop and the theologian and everything, he realized he needed God even more. You see, temptation is what leads us to sin. And for most of us, temptations are pretty ordinary things. There's the sin of gluttony, drinking too much Scotch whiskey, eating too much foie de gras. Or the opposite of gluttony is to go to the gym compulsively and to work on losing that very last few grams of fat. This is obviously not my problem. But gluttony is too much attention to the body, and it works both ways. So the next time you see someone with a perfectly sculpted body, ask him, are you a glutton? There's also the sin of lust, which is not a question of desire, by the way. It's a question of wanting to possess someone, to use them for your own pleasure. And these other sins of the flesh, as they're known, are bad enough. And very holy people learn to control them. As for me, I'm not giving up Scotch whiskey, so don't worry about me. But if you read a book like Teresa of Avila, Seven-Storied Mountain, Teresa, the great Spanish woman who single-handedly reformed a pretty corrupt Carmelite order. When you get to be truly holy, then the real temptation is the worst of them all, and that is to pride, of a very spiritual nature, that you're so enamored with Jesus, and Jesus is so enamored with you. You've conquered your sins, you've conquered your flaws, and by God, isn't it wonderful you're not that person there? And of course, the truly spiritual, prideful people never say that. They just think it. And that's bad enough. Actually, that's really, really bad. Because you get to a place where you've progressed so much that you forget how it all started. And that's when you need to go back to Ash Wednesday. and get the ashes on the forehead and remember that you're a sinner, that I'm a sinner. In fact, as the bishop, I'm the sinner in chief. Did you ever think of that? Yeah. And you know, one thing about spiritual hypocrisy is there's nothing that kills a church like that. Nothing that kills a ministry like that. Nothing that brings disrepute upon the whole of the church, all of us, as that kind of pride. And only the holiest people can be tempted to it. Not me. I'm still on gluttony. But that's bad enough, because sin is about separating ourselves from God. That's all it is. It is kind of like waking up one day and thinking, how did I get here? How did this happen? Why are these consequences coming home to roost? Just how did I get myself involved in this? And needing to hear one more time that love does meet us dusty people. That it is God who's gone looking for us, who's going looking for us every day. God who's reaching out to us in Jesus, saying, look, I'm one of you. Look how stuck you are, as if you were nailed to a cross. Look how your life is. I'm sharing it with you so that you might share mine. And I'm ready to forgive you. Actually, I already have. All you have to do is accept it again, and then try again, and go to church on Ash Wednesday and get your ashes, and then as soon as you walk out the door, wipe them off so that nobody knows that you've been to church. When love meets dust. And finally, when you are getting your ashes, if you choose to do that, don't have to, we say, remember that you are dust. What does that mean? Second chapter of the book of Genesis tells us that God pinched together some dust and breathed into it, and it became an Adam. Not a man, but the word Adam, if you will, in English, actually means groundling, earthling, dirt person, dirt bag. I'm serious. We are dust. To dust we shall return. But in between, there is love. Because what created our dust? Love. What animates our dust? Love. What redeems us from the dustbin? Love. So maybe there's something to St. Valentine after all. But maybe not on Ash Wednesday. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.